doors of a church or a chapel. But a loving and sovereign God honored the prayers of my mother, because for those years in college, in those years in the military service, in two wars, every time my head hit the pillow, the fear of death and a desire for peace, as well as a sense of shame and guilt, would just rest heavily down upon me while I was waiting for sleep to come, and would rest there until sleep finally came and dispelled those thoughts. As a beggar receives a gift from a king, one day I received from a loving and sovereign God eternal life. I didn't deserve it, and I didn't earn it. But it made a tremendous change in my life. God was faithful to provide a godly man to ground me in the Word and to establish me in the faith and to spend time with me. All fear of death and anxiety for the future was replaced with a deep, abiding sense of well-being. I can honestly say that I was a happy Christian. After I was saved, I'm quite sure that I was happier then when I was unhappy than I used to be when I was happy, if you know what I mean. But the greatest thing of all, no matter where I laid my head, I knew that if I died before morning, I'd wake up in heaven. Now, I don't mean to imply that life didn't bring me any problems. I just simply mean to say that the joy, that deep sense of well-being, stayed. You know, happiness is a result of happenings. And no matter what the happenings, that deep, abiding sense of joy just stayed. It happened, for example, that I went broke. Very broke. I suffered a very severe financial failure. I can't tell you about it like I told Jim about it in the few minutes I have left, but in a nutshell, I turned my back on a mountain of debts and lost myself in, quote, full-time evangelism for Billy Graham in the heart of East Texas, coordinating his motion picture ministry in that area of the state. With a perfectly clear conscience, somehow, I'll never know how, but I trusted God to stand in the gap and provide the loss for those who would suffer because of my obedience to Christ. And I labored for 7 years in 60 cities of East Texas that were big enough to have an indoor theater. For 7 years, a loving and sovereign God allowed me to minister among people who didn't know about my shame and didn't know about my guilt. And then in 1972, I was given a burden by this same loving and sovereign God. A burden to go back and make restitution to all my creditors. The scripture God used was Matthew 5:23 and 24. One morning, after 7 years of ignoring my debts and of exercising the gift that the Spirit of God had given me among these people, God showed me that if any man come to the altar with his gift and there discovers in his memory that there are people out there who have aught against him, he should leave his gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to his brothers and then come and offer his gift. And that was the first time I'd ever seen that verse as a spiritual gift instead of an offering of money. I thought my gift was terribly important. I thought that God had been very successful in the use of my gift for 7 years. And now he tells me in a very loving way, but a very firm way, that he does not want my gift at this time. So I frankly did not think that it could be accomplished in my lifetime. My debts were so many. But I thought that perhaps I would probably die trying and go to heaven with a clear conscience. Now, that's exactly what I thought. And so I went after it on that basis. But a loving and sovereign God had a better plan for my life. He had placed me in a network of 60 cities in East Texas, the hub of which was Tyler, Texas, the third fastest growing city in America, in the population bracket of 50 to 150,000. I resigned from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Film Ministry and went into a new sacred work. When is a work sacred? When God is at the core and thrust of it. The theme and the goal of our lives became known in my family as R&R, restitution and responsibility. It wasn't financial security, but financial responsibility. I have only enough time left to tell you that by God's grace and guidance and in his strength, that in the next 5 years, I negotiated sales and leases on real estate properties totaling well over $3 billion. I don't understand that except in terms of my loving and sovereign God. And on October the 1st, 1977, restitution was completed, and with a clear conscience between God and man, between myself and God and man, I could say for the first time in over 30 years, I owe no man anything save to love him. A loving and sovereign God has continued to bless us, and we're trying to live our lives with a sense of gratitude for what he has done for us. And we live in that fresh newness of one that is alive from the dead. While in Glen Eyrie in 1964, God gave to Flo and me a verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. We claim that verse, and God has given us the promise. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to build so great and bold a man that the whole world will stand amazed. Watch his methods. Watch his ways. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects. How he hammers him and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay which only God understands. All the while his tortured heart is crying and he's lifting beseeching hands. How God bends but never breaks when man's good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses and with every purpose fuses him, by every action fuses him and induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. Thank you.